you. Moving on to our regular agenda. Charlie, you want to start us off with long-range planning?
Yes. A lot has happened with the Oswald Grant when it opened up on the 7th of November. Mm-hmm. And I was going to just pass that on to Derek, but we did actually have somebody that came and loaned up to fit the budget. So.
Absolutely. So we held a bid opening yesterday. This is for the Veterans Memorial Pool Project. Where we're going to demo Vet's pool and construct a splash pad in its place. So the first bid packet that went out was the demo project, so we hope to get that done before the weather breaks this season. So we had three bidders. We have a budget of $200,000 as a reminder. The first bid came in from CSD Environmental at $448,276.79. The second bid was from O'Shea Builders at $222,984. And the third bid was from Evans Construction for $200,000 on the dot. So we do have a low responsible bidder. Evans Construction is prepared to start the project, if the board is so inclined. Staff's recommendation to next week, can't do it tonight, but next week, authorize staff to negotiate a contract and move forward with this project. So we're really excited to get finally a bid within budget. It seems like this is the first one we've had in a long, long time. So,
great. Does anybody have any questions for staff? Okay. Great job. Let's go. Let's see. Nancy?
Marketing, Tourism
Attraction
Grant. I'm
going to
defer to Derek.
Sure. Sure. So the governor recently announced the next round of tourism grants. Last year, we received a grant. It was a tourism attraction and festival grant because they had some COVID money. This year, it's not COVID money. It's back to state funds, so it's just tourism attraction grants, not the festivals. Anyway, last year we were awarded a grant, as a reminder, to replace the conservatory dome at the Botanical Garden. We put up $380,000 and we received a $370,000 grant, and that project is underway. This year, grants can range between $15,000 and $500,000, and essentially it's to attract, develop, and improve new and existing tourism-related projects and attractions. Applications are due December 18th, so again, in typical state fashion, it is just right around the corner. There's not a very big window of time here to move on this. This year, they are requiring a local match of at least 50%. So there are several projects that we could consider applying for at the zoo, the Carillon, the Nelson Center, the tennis, pickleball, the list goes on and on. The challenge that we have is the local match. And if we were to apply for, say, a $500,000 grant, that's great, but it also means that we have to put up $500,000 of our money to match that. So as a reminder, if we were to do this, the only pot of money that we really have to match would be the 2024 bond. And as this board and staff has all been kind of pumping the brakes on committing yet more dollars from that bond, at least half of that bond is spoken for already from previous commitments and cost overruns on projects. So we don't recommend using any money from the bond to match. So, alternatively, I think the best idea for us moving forward is to partner with the Lucky Horseshoes here. And if they're willing to put up the local match on our behalf, then we would use our status as a government entity to apply for that grant. I've had some preliminary discussions with the Lucky Horseshoes about this. I have a meeting with them tomorrow. They're on board, if this board is so inclined. They're very excited about the opportunity. The project, of course, I'll back up, the project would be to put artificial turf at Robin Roberts Stadium. That project would be a little over $1 million. It could be around 1.2 or so. I believe tentatively they'd be willing to put up, again, that additional funds to make us that extra money.
So, and I think this is a great idea. You and I spoke about it. I think this is a great idea. But my only concern is that we get something in concrete from the horseshoes about in writing.
Yeah.
Go to Rob.
You need a contract.
Yes.
Yep.
Because my only concern would be, you know, we put our name on the line and for this, and, you know, something happens.
Sure, sure.
Unforeseen.
Agreed. Yeah, we would get a written commitment from them. Yeah.
For those same reasons, is there a less expensive project at Robin Roberts that if, God forbid, something goes wrong and they're out of town, we're not on the hook for $500,000?
So we would have to select a project to apply.
I understand. Yeah. Have we thought about other?
We've thought about several other projects. You know, LED lighting would be, another potential project out there. I think the artificial turf probably has a bigger value. And I agree with what you're both saying, you know, because again, if we're awarded a grant and we have to withdraw from the grant, that has other implications.
Right.
Not just that, but other grants as well. So we would absolutely get it from them in writing to make sure it's airtight before we apply for that grant.
And this is the lawyer in me speaking, like we could have it and it could be enforceable, but we would still then have to enforce it. And so that would, you know, cost and delay things as well. So I guess, I don't know if other people want to think about less expensive if I'm the only one on this.
No, but is there any way in the discussions with the horseshoes we can talk about them, you know, putting aside the money, you know, identifying, showing us that they have the funds. I mean, to me, before we sign on the grant, which, I mean, maybe what we do is we say, and maybe even if they don't have the whole thing, maybe they have half right now in a commitment that within 3 months they, and set up a separate account for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that way we have proof of funds up front. Something like that.
Are we considering doing the full $500,000?
Yeah.
I know we probably haven't spoken with them yet, but is that kind of what you're getting at? Are we going to apply for the whole thing, or are they kind of regulating how much we apply for?
So the maximum grant we can apply would be 500, right? And I think the overall project is at least 1.2.
Mm-hmm.
So my thought is that we would apply for a $1.2 million project. The state, the most they could put up is $500,000, so the Lucky Horseshoes would have to put up the $700,000 to make up that difference.
Okay, is that the understanding, not the other $500,000 just to get the matching, and then...
They would put up all of it. It would cost, we would have no...
Out-of-pocket
expense.
Right, because this is, look, at the end of the day, I think it's a great thing for the stadium, but if we're choosing for the Park District, you know, top priorities, you know, I'm not sure artificial turf would be the top priority that we would choose. On the other hand, if we have, you know, an entity that's going to put up the match, so ultimately the district and the community benefits from the artificial turf, but we're not out of pocket, I'm for that concept. But I like the idea of not only getting it in writing, but maybe some chunk of it, you know, in escrow. Thank you, counselor.
So we are specifically stating that it's the turf project, not the lights.
Right. Right.
And what I have to say on that is that, you know, we've talked over the years with, back when Todd Miller was the owner, even talking with some people who were involved with the Springfield Capitals in the 90s, and going back to some of the city staff that I know that was there when the Springfield Cardinals were here. The infield turf has always been a bone of contention going back to when the city owned the property. But here's one of the things that has been consistently stated by all of the different management staff of the different organizations that have been there. If the infield is turf, it creates an opportunity to do a lot more things in there, such as setting up a wrestling ring or setting up a temporary hockey ring or a stage or all these other things without it tearing up the infield. The reason the Horseshoes were going to do this would be obviously so that they could host additional events out there as well as their sporting events. If we're doing this, I think we need to think about the clarity of, you know, what are they expecting for scheduling versus what we're going to expect to schedule for our own facility.
Yeah, and I think hopefully I can get to the root of some of that tomorrow in my discussion with them. I do believe that, you know, if they're going to commit $500,000 or $700,000 towards this project,
they're
going to want some additional more controls that the current contract does not provide to them. So I think they'd want to maybe renegotiate some of those things. I think we'd be open to some of that. I think additionally, you know, they've kicked out the idea before about naming rights at the stadium and what that may look like. And I think they were prepared to come to this board before, but they held off because they were hoping they could get artificial turf even before any of this came up. And they thought at that point that naming right would have a greater value to sell in the community if it was an year-round artificial turf facility. So I'd imagine that'll come up again. And I think, you know, we can be creative on, you know, how as an agency we want to control that. Maybe any money that's raised out of the naming rights goes back to field improvements or LED lights or something in the facility rather than, say, a, you know, bottom line. So all those things I think we need to iron out. The challenge here is December 18th is just right around the corner.
And that's my concern.
So I think we need to focus, right? So I understand that should this actually happen, that there are going to need to be some contract issues that you guys have to work on. But I think if we need to be laser focused in and that's not always easy with sorry, but it's true.
I want to point out, you said something very important. I think we should all think about, you know, that this is free money in the park district, and I think we go all in here. It brings a big opportunity. Thanks for your work in this, but to build a relationship with, right now the city's coming after us for the stadium. The Horseshoes are coming after us. Like, this is an incredible opportunity to build a partnership.
Yeah.
And I say we go all in after this. We can deal with scheduling all that later.
Right. And that's what I'm going to say. Laser focused on this.
Yeah,
your conversations, try to keep them, not let them sort of drift off into, well, you know, contract stuff. I mean, we can get to that. That's fair. That's fair game.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're going to get this done by December 18th, and grants are a lot of work,
mm-hmm.
Then, you know, we need the key bases covered with the understanding that we will visit naming rights and all this other stuff at some other, you know, date.
Yes, so long as I know the board's comfortable with giving me the flexibility, whether it's in the next couple of weeks or even after we hopefully get a deal with them to maybe negotiate that contract, and if we need to make some changes to loosen some things up to give them some opportunities for programs and other events. It sounds like the board's in favor of that. I agree. I think there's an amazing opportunity.
It is.
Right at our...
Because long-term, it's the district's field,
mm-hmm.
and this would be a significant, as one of you said, a game-changing improvement.
It would allow you so many more things
yeah.
in that facility.
And we still will control it. I mean, they might have more latitude within the contract, but
sure.
ultimately we will get opportunities as well as and allow...
Yeah.
Other pieces of the community to have
and that's
those.
One of the things I was going to mention is that it's been brought up to me by a city council member that Robin Roberts is in a fifth district. And if the Shoes are trying to work with that particular councilman to get TIF money toward this, they probably won't be able to get more than 500 or 50 or 1,000.
They're not eligible for TIF money.
They
are. Okay, well then that would
they don't own the property.
But I just, if that's one of the ways, that, just be aware of that may be one of the ways that they think they're bringing the money in.
My last question, and then I think I'm done with questions, is we asked for...
No, that's what we're here for.
But the date could just give us 300 of our ask. And then
what is our thought of that?
I have not seen that happen in this tourism attraction grant program. It's either all or none. The way that they organized it, so everybody that applies for one of these grants, they rank them, right? How many points they get based on their matrix that they have. And then they take the top ranked project and they award it. And then they take the next ranked project and they award it at 100%. And they keep working down
the line. Because they understand.
And until they're out of money.
It's,
so it's an all or nothing
the project. If you don't get what you asked for, that the project is no longer viable.
So is that so in the rules of allocating money for this, or is it technically a possibility that they only award a percentage of your ask?
I am not going to speak for the state.
Okay.
If that happens, then we would have the obligation to say, you didn't fund the full amount, the project.
Right, we'll walk away.
Well, I think we would go to the shoes at that point and say, hey, it's going to cost an extra $200,000 to $300,000. Are you good or not? If yes, great. If not, then we just withdraw at that point.
Or I've said for the better part of 9 months now that if it had to be done in pieces, we could turf the infield and get rid of that hump. Just turfing the infield would make a huge difference.
You may be able to reduce the size of the scope.
Exactly. If
yeah.
we had to, we could reduce down the project by almost 2/3 to where we're only focusing on the 1/3 that is the actual infield diamond.
Mm-hmm.
If we had to.
Yeah, I just don't want to be getting into logistics, if that did happen, could we change? Like, we're still going to put it towards an infield, but can that be, that money still be allocated just towards that, not finishing the project?
Well, again, I've never seen that happen where they don't award a full amount. You know, it's a great question because, you know, if we're in that situation, we need to know what we would do. And I think from our perspective, we're only committing to the project if it is fully funded, right? I think that's kind of what I'm taking from the meeting tonight. If it's going to cost us any funds, then we need to have another discussion and rethink that. So I won't allow us to get in a situation where we're committing dollars without having another discussion. But it's a good precautionary discussion, but I don't anticipate that.
I would say this is high up on my want list, but it's not high up on my need list. There are several things at the park district that if we're talking about allocating our own dollars that are currently...
Oh, completely agree.
This is a high-up want.
If it's a freebie, let's go.
Exactly.
I mean, it's hard to argue with that. It's like the 100% state grant.
I want to make one comment to the board. That renegotiating our contract with the shoes not necessarily a bad thing.
I fully agree.
Yeah, there's some benefit for everybody there.
I think this can be a win-win.
Mm.
I love those.
If you play the game right.
I choose.
Oh, boy. I had 20 minutes of the meeting.
No. Oh.
Don't trip up on your own
leg. I'm out. Okay. Thank you, guys, and thank you, staff.
So,
is there anything else?
We'll probably need a resolution from the board, and if we're going to do it in time, that resolution would need to come next week. So, I will meet with the Lucky Horseshoes tomorrow, get as many things ironed out, get these questions answered, talk with the attorney, see what we can do to really have some teeth behind their commitment in this, and then get back to the board. But it's my recommendation to... Hopefully we can
if
take
you're
action
comfortable
on it next week.
With that,
and
that's fine.
We can always take action, contingent upon or something like that. There's some loose ends at that point.
We've done that before.
Yeah.
I mean, this is explicitly what Jamie came and said.
Right.
What are you guys doing in terms of grants? And
right.
Right. That's what I really like because we get to be, the partner that they have asked us to be.
Right.
And they, as long as they're willing to step up to the plate, sorry. Okay. Chair Westcott, do you like to talk about rate adjustments?
Yeah.
Sure. Let me take that one, Amanda.
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
So the Recreation Marketing Department presents a yearly evaluation of rates. Mostly there's not any changes. They didn't handle all the changes as such. I did want to highlight a potential new service member rate for membership in the admission before an advance for service member discount. And so this is for active duty military, veterans, firemen, police, merit personnel qualify for a 10% discount on passes and membership, including the daily attendance, and then also for daily admissions, they would receive the daily rate. We propose this as another great way to reach more members in the community that may not have thought about the park ticket before, so it's another great marketing and support of that.
Okay. So
I would also add to that that, you know, when we ask
a couple of questions.
Sure. When we ask staff to kind of look at these, you know, there are several things that are part of that consideration. You know, when we last had a rate adjustment, many of them were several years, 3, 4, 5+ years since we've done rate adjustments in some of these areas. Staff does a good job of benchmarking where our competitors are, which isn't always applicable, but some of them are spot on. So we take a look at that, and then the cost to provide.
We should not be the same cost as commercial facilities.
No, and in fact, yeah.
Sorry, all those increases were still way below average.
Yeah. And in some of them, like golf, I was looking at that earlier, I think we're 3 times under what some other partnership courses are in Central Illinois.
Okay, we're going to get creamed on golf passes. And what is going on with the junior pass? What did you, because remember we had that whole discussion last year about junior passes. How much?
About 25. Yeah.
24.
What was it last year?
25. Actual rate was 170. So the one that was 6 to 7 is 175. What we're proposing right now is 199.
What was the drop off when you increased it last year from 150?
Before it was 330. It was $330.
But that was years ago.
No, that was 2021.
Yeah.
That was 2021. We did a marketing strategy to try to lower the cost and attract more people in.
That's what it
was. Right? So right. even if the board approves this, it's $175, which is almost half of what it was 2 years ago.
Okay, so did we, I'm sorry, I said it wrong. Did we pick up people? But when we dropped it, that's right. I'm sorry. I'm just going, my memory is poor.
Yeah, was it a cost benefit analysis?
When we went from
330 to 150, did
we increase it?
Yes.
Did we pick up 100 passes?
Really?
No, I said did we.
I don't know the exact number on that.
I think we total, we had 80 passes that were sold. I don't know the increase from the previous year.
We did, yeah. That makes sense from the last one.
Last year we added the college.
That's what it was.
Right.
Thank you guys. I appreciate that.
Yeah, good memory.
26.
I agree with what Leslie's saying that we have to keep it affordable.
Yeah.
But I also agree that we can't be undercutting ourselves for point over.
I don't mind if we go to this. This is fine. I'd like to know then, when we are here next year,
get an idea.
Yeah.
Get an idea of what the cost was over the last 5 years and what the usage.
Well, how the usage is being impacted.
Because
let's face it, I mean, the whole point of this is to get another generation of golfers that are going to sustain our golf courses for, you know, going forward.
Yep.
All right.
And sorry, do you how many of the college passes were sold?
No.
All right, perfect.
Well, the only other question I had was on the ice rink rental. We kind of went round and round about this, didn't we? About with hockey, junior hockey, and the cost. I think for junior hockey, was it youth hockey that came to us 6, 8 months ago or a year ago and complained that mm-hmm. you know, the cost of youth hockey was more than the cost of the figure skaters, and they were having trouble getting new kids into hockey. So what are we doing about that, if anything, and did you raise the rates on that?
I think the youth, SYHA, the Youth Hockey Association, wanted to increase the quality of the youth.
But they also was, I know where you're going with that, but that wasn't the only concern. The other concern was the cost. They had gotten a big increase, and they said a lot of people dropped away when they got the increase because they just, it was just too much. And
yeah.
they were complaining about that.
I think that was for like the youngest kids.
Yes.
If I
That's
recall
correct.
Right. I don't know if that was the learn to play hockey that was referencing. I don't recall the specifics of that, but I think that was the youngest kids that were playing. I'll tell you, we've met with them several times since then. That concern hasn't been expressed since then. Their biggest concern that they keep pushing to us is trying to increase the quality of the coaching staff, which, because that is a feeder into the travel hockey program, and we've actually committed funds to them. I think, I can't remember, maybe $10,000 in funds to help contribute to bring a professional hockey coach
to kind of govern that.
So since we've had all those discussions, I've not fielded any concerns from them about that moving forward.
What about for the figure skaters?
Well, we haven't heard anything.
Are you proposing a raise on them?
No, there's no change.
Okay,
to,
all right.
Learn to skate.
The wrong place to ask this, but you know, when we're looking at increasing our fees to the public, one of the things that we bring up fairly consistently has been that the contract that we have with Springfield District 186. And I personally feel that if we're looking at raising rates for the public, we need to take a look at revisiting their contract to where they're paying more closer to market price. When, you know, I know that we have a reciprocal agreement with them overall, but I can't remember the last time that we've ever used any of their facilities.
No, we just redid
redid that in the last
2 years.
Almost, I was going to say a couple of years, and we split, right? So there are some facilities that we have reciprocal use. They use our facilities for free. We use their facilities for free. Then there's this. We created this whole other new bucket that's not reciprocity. It's just kind of a discounted fee. We're not getting anything. You know, there's not a relationship where we use their facilities and they use our facilities.
That used to be. I mean, that was years ago.
They strictly pay us for that.
Right.
Now, you know, market rate is an interesting term, right? I would argue that maybe we don't charge market rate for anything we do because we're a park and rec agency. We're subsidized by tax dollars to keep our rates low and affordable to people in the community that maybe can't afford them. I don't know that now is the time to revisit that with the school district. We have a lot of things going on with the school district, a lot of partnerships and relationships that I think
Robin Roberts.
Is to kind of just maybe, Stephen, you're the numbers guy, kind of keep an eye on the idea of time slots that we know we could fill otherwise, such as swimming, with the private groups that pay a slightly higher fee compared to how much time we're giving at the lower rate to the schools when we could have gotten a higher rate out of the time period. Does that make sense?
I don't think that analysis is done right now. I think the time is kind of divided up on a fairly equivalent basis to the different parties who use the facility.
I mean, if the schools were to turn around and suddenly decide they want to build their own pool, I guarantee you we could fill every time slot at Eisenhower with the private club.
Yeah, and the school district is paying the same fee that the parochial schools are paying as well.
Okay.
But it's a fair question. We have, you know, this board is very well aware that the demand for Eisenhower pool has outgrown the supply. There's no doubt about that.
Right.
if we were to limit the high school swim time availability, a hornet's nest would be an understatement on that. So, you know, I think we've kind of got a balance that kind of works now, but we can certainly take a look at those relationships.
Bailey, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, I don't
poke the bear.
I go up behind it with the golf club.
I know.
All right.
Yeah. So to your guys' question, there was 102 junior classes that was 6 to 17-year-olds, and then 93 college passes for the 18 to 22.
And we marketed heavily at Lincoln Land and UIS.
Yeah, so it's
great.
It's going
great.
Before the junior would cap out at 18.
No, it was like up to 26.
Yeah.
And we separated it, and we charged more for the college one.
How many does he know? Like in 2022 or 2021, how many junior passes were sold?
And we can get this info and follow up maybe tomorrow with the board.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
You know, not
but it sounds like that experiment was a success.
Sounds like it was a big success.
Drop off 40. Mm-hmm. 22 plus 10, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we did.
Mm-hmm.
Confirming.
Okay, master plan. Derek, I know you're ready to go on this. We discussed it last month.
We did.
Is there anything new, or are you just ready to go?
Yeah, so I included, again, the proposal from Design Perspectives in the board packet. Again, nothing's changed. It's the same proposal that the board reviewed last month. I think last month we were ready. We just wanted to wait until the audit was complete. The audit is now complete. I've talked to Todd Stanton again. He's still ready to go on his end. So we would recommend the board take action on this next week, and the funding would be from the
PPRT balance.
Well, I would recommend that we take it out of the admin professional services. We have some money in that account that we can account for it. In the end, it's going to come out of fund balance at the end of the year anyway. But, you know, I think we could move forward with it then. We probably won't start this project until January, but we want to get the contract in place so we can move forward.
Great. Anybody have any concerns? Okay, I know. I'm weird. I'm excited about that.
No, it's a really important project. It really is.
IAPD credentials, we do this every year.
We
do. You want to explain?
Yep. So the annual IPRA / IAPD conference is in January every year. There's some information. There's a preliminary guide in the Park and Rec magazine that you've got today.
C24.
So we'll be sending some information to the board on registration information. You're all encouraged to go. And so we'll send you some information if you're available and you're interested in going. We'll get your information and get you registered for it. During that conference, which is a really great conference, this conference, it's larger or at least rivals the national conference for Parks and Rec. It's really, really good. During that conference, IAPD hosts an annual board meeting, and at that meeting, they require a delegate from each member. We're a member of IAPD to participate. So if we want to vote or have any say in that, we have to assign a delegate. The board typically assigns me as a delegate. I always attend those meetings. So the credentialing is just a formal way for the board to effectuate that. So if the board's so inclined, I would be willing to be the board's representative yet again at that meeting.
Yeah. Okay. I'm so inclined. I don't know. How about the rest of you? Okay.
What's the early group discount date?
It's early December, I believe, like the 15th or so.
If you're interested in going to the conference, we'll need to know that.
Yeah.
So we can clear that ahead of time.
I would recommend it.
Yeah.
It really is. It's interesting, and you get lots of ideas, and they're all. I mean, there's a session on any topic that you can take.
I would make sure that the national conference, because I've been to both. The national conference is much more recreation focused,
mm-hmm.
and with very little legal compliance focus because there's so many different circuits and states involved. But this conference is Illinois recreation focus. So the information is very specifically applicable to everything that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I think it's, like Derek said, it's almost as big as the national government. It's huge.
Yeah. It is.
You'll get an email from Lori with all the information, so just respond back that email if you're interested, and we'd love to have you join us.
Okay. Jason is not here.
Jason is not here. He is enjoying a day off, so we hope he is enjoying
a day off.
Can we
allow
that? So a couple updates in long-range planning, if I can take that one. Speaking of the museum grant at the Henson Robinson Zoo, I have some bad news and I have some good news.
Mm.
So we'll start with the bad news first. The bad news is we are having more construction delays. We're waiting on some fabrication of some steel for some of the outdoor exhibits at the Lehmer-Langer building, which is going to add more time until we can get this darn project done. It's the project that never ends, it seems like. So that's the bad news. The good news is actually really, really good news. And in fact, I've been in the field for 23 years, and I have never seen this happen before. We received a $750,000 museum grant to fund this with no local match. If the board remembers, we bid it out originally, and the contract was, I think, $1.4 million.
Yeah, and we had to make it smaller. And
we had to value engineer it and cut things that we wanted to do and redid the project. And the second bid came in at $850 or so. And that didn't include all of our engineering costs, too. So we were at a $275,000 overrun on that project. So we've been working with IBNR, and just this week they have committed to additional funds to help this project to the tune of $275,200.
Wow.
They're paying now every penny of cost.
Right. Right. This grant was awarded pre-COVID, and
it was
COVID that increased the cost.
I've never seen DCEO, IDNR, I've never seen them do this before. So this
I've
is
never
really
heard
great.
Of that before.
We are jumping all over it and getting them all the paperwork that they need to get this done. So that's really, really exciting.
Isn't that money going to come out of the foundation, too?
It was going to. We were going to have to use some 2024 bond money to cost overrun. Yep. So on the grant theme, Kiwanis Park, that project is well underway. That's an Oswald grant. The sanitary sewer is done. The walkways are done. The parking upgrades are done. The soccer field has been regraded and seeded and actually is a really nice stand of grass out there. There's two projects left to complete out there. One is the shelter, which that's in the board run for the check run this month. So that was a prefab unit that comes and they install it on site. That project is well underway, and maybe even the next couple weeks we hope to see some movement on that. And then the final project will be the playground. We intentionally left the playground for last because that's the one that we have a little bit of flexibility in. We want to build as big a playground as possible within the budget. So now that we're closing out all these contracts and all the change orders and we kind of settle up, and then we'll figure out how much money we have left, and it'll all go towards a playground. So that's really, really exciting, and the community's getting behind that. I know UIS, I did an interview with them today. I think you may have interviewed with them. They're doing their student reporters are reporting on. It's just got a lot of community excitement behind it. So that's really fun. Also in Parks and Planning, staff has winterized all of our outdoor bathrooms, our concession stands, our water fountains, our irrigation system, the pond fountains, the splash pads, everything that has water outdoors has been winterized as of late in October. As a reminder to the board, there is one outdoor bathroom that we keep open year-round. That is in Washington Park by the playground. Everything else will be closed until next spring. You may get questions about it. The reason being is that it is the only outdoor bathroom that we have heat. So, obviously, we can run it year-round.
Amanda, can you put something out on social media stating that, and then we can share it?
that bathroom is going to remain open?
Yeah, well, just that the other bathrooms are closed for winterization because they do not have heat. The only public restroom that will be open in our parks is Washington Park by the playground.
The only indoor
ones. Only indoor.
Yeah, I said out a little bit indoor, right? Yeah.
But I think it could be something that the public may actually respond well to seeing.
Just a word of caution. Sometimes you get the negative from that too, right? They've been closed for a month, and staff hasn't got anything on it. That's my only concern.
What about just put it on the website?
That could work.
I like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is a positive thing. That is,
they're still
reminded. That's
right.
It's still open.
Staying open for the winter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for your park enjoyment. Okay. And then finally, I think the board's aware of this, but all of our seasonal maintenance staff were very heavily seasonally driven. All of our seasonal maintenance staff get laid off every winter. This is nothing new is expected when we hire them in. So we've laid off our seasonal staff. We're down to kind of a, I'll say, skeleton crew. Maybe that's not the best way to describe it, but to just a limited amount of staff in our parks. But so too is the work that's being done as well. So that's it for parks and planning, unless there's any questions about the staff report or any other items in parks and planning.
Chief?
Good evening. So I would gladly entertain any questions that you might have regarding our October monthly report and just share a few things with you that aren't in the report because they're just kind of developing events. We recently had the first promotion to sergeant in the department that we've had in a very long time. Jason Morrison has been promoted to sergeant, well deserved, and it would be a very useful position for us to have. As of yesterday, something I've collected for a long time, which is an online link between our computer automated report writing system and the FBI's National Incident-Based Reporting System. That has finally been formalized, so we are no longer doing manual entry of our monthly crime reports and our annual crime reports. I really like that because there's somebody that had to do that with me. So that's a big bridge that we built. We have noted in our monthly report, we successfully got through yet another jack-o'-lantern spectacular. In the soon-to-be 6 years I've worked here, that was by far the most well-attended event. It was. I think it did very well for the organization. We had one minor medical call, not at the event, but in Washington Park. On Friday night, no medical calls at the event. We're 3 years into operations, I guess you would call it, where we have on-site EMTs, and that's working out very well. We also experimented with a temporary traffic flow modification to help people get out of the park a little easier this year. It's always chaos at dismissal time. It's always chaos at the mad rush to the beginning, and it seems to work fairly well. If you're in the area, police will please stop by any time, but if you're in the area, stop by the police department. We have a new parking pad that has just been completed, a three-car parking pad directly south of the existing lot that will give us a wonderful space and a half ADA-compliant parking area as well as some additional concrete instead of dirt parking for the squad cars, and we're real happy with that. And big thanks to Jason and his crew for his help with that. Let's see here. For those of you that have become aware of it, which probably most of us, 2 weeks ago yesterday there was an Illinois State Trooper who was involved in a situation on Toronto Road where he was shot multiple times. That individual, Cody Green, actually served as a Park District Police Officer for a year. And prior to that, he was an intern from Western Illinois University at our department. He and I remained super close. And so I just want to give you a little update on his situation. He's home. He's ahead of schedule in all regards. He has months of cure ahead of him. And there were three Park District officers who were peripherally involved in that event, both at the scene after it happened and at the hospital that night. A couple other things we've got coming up real briefly. Next week on the 16th of, November, Park District Police hosts a annual monthly training meeting for the Sangamon County Law Enforcement Executives. Sometimes called the Sangamon Chiefs Meeting. The training meeting, our training hosts or our training guests that day will be the University of Illinois Police Training Simulation Program, a new grant-funded program, really neat stuff. We're doing that at Aaron Civilian. We're putting on breakfast as well. Everybody here in the room is invited to stop by and attend if you can find time in your busy schedule to do so. And we usually host that once a year. Soon after that, on the 18th of November, we are hosting a what's called a power test, which is a physical skills assessment test for our police officer applicants. We posted the new full-time police officer position. To my great delight, we had 34 applicants.
Mm-hmm.
On November 18th, State Police was graciously allowed to provide us both facilities and a currently, unlike another, a currently trained physical fitness instructor who can administer the test. So we're excited about that. Another calendar mark item, if you can find time in your busy schedules, on the afternoon of December 21st, we'll be doing our annual Christmas with Police Santa at Aaron's Pavilion. We do a gift giveaway that we partner with Toys for Tots with for the special needs children's class that's held out there at Aaron's Pavilion. This weekend, we're going to have a squad car in the Veterans Day Parade for the first time in a long time, so I'm excited about that. And also coming up on the 20th of November, we're going to partner with a couple of these guys, CNC organizations, and do a canned food and food giveaway right before Thanksgiving in a lot over around 11th and Washington.
You're busy.
You're busy. And at present, we stand at 7,169 police services in the entirety of 2023, which I'm probably tired of hearing you saying it, but it's our largest number ever, and I suspect that this year will probably double anything we've seen in the past for a variety of reasons.
Thank you, Chief. Thank Much you appreciated for you and your team, all the hard work. We really do appreciate it. Steven, numbers man?
I wanted to touch briefly on a few things outside the staff report. One, you found hard copies of the audit.
Yeah.
You already have electronic copies of all these documents. So if you don't want to take that with you, you can just stop at the clock there on our story. But if you prefer to have some paper, you do. And then, second of all, that is the final report. It was funny, Derek and I had a conversation, so it would have been handy last month, but it wasn't final until the board voted on it, and so she did not, Christy did not print them until she got the final approval, so it is what it is. I didn't want her to waste the paper until the final.
You know, given the fact that we're pretty digital, maybe when we bid this out next year, maybe we have them print draft copies and
quote.
don't print the final.
Right, it's a quote.
Well, when we quote it out, we don't have them print final copies, just have them print draft copies.
Yeah, she always asks me, I reduce the number of copies. What we have here is it. But while we're on the subject of the audit, so there's one more option you're left on this contract, which I absolutely recommend you stick with. Because I can tell you that the price is going up the following year when we actually have to go out and get a new contract, it's going to cost quite a bit more. And that is what it is, given everything is costing more money. So we have a basically five-year-old quote that we're working off of now. Because this will be the fifth. There was a three-year deal with two options, so this will be the fifth year with her. And so that segues me into my next subject, which is the levies. We're actually looking at increasing the audit levy because we know it's going to cost us more money. Typically, we have created the audit fund levy to be equal to what we expect the fees to be. So we are working on the levy, and optimally, the strategy, which we've had since I've been here, is to maximize the levy under the allowed statute, which is we are limited by CPI, PTO, the law, property tax extension limitation law. And so our strategy will be to calculate a 5% increase in our levy, and that's what we will request, and we will be bringing that information to the board in December with the objective of having it, the levy ordinance passed at the December board meeting, as it is due on the last Tuesday in December. The county building, however, that's Christmas, I think the last Tuesday in December is Christmas holiday, so actually it would be due after that.
That's where we're at with that. If anybody has any questions about any of that information, there will be the levy summary will be in next month's information. I just want to let everybody know it's coming. We're working on the budget right now. We're working on departmental budgets. And so we'll be working on that at the same time, and then we'll be flowing directly into the bond budget. We'll have to take time out from the operating budget to go into the bond budget in January, and then after that bond is done, we'll switch gears and go back to the regular budget. And then, of course, in December, we'll start union negotiations, because the contract...
When do we start those?
We'll be starting in December.
January.
January.
Yeah.
We were edging back and forth with the union leadership on timing, but it's coming. We're going to start doing it. Hopefully we'll come to some kind of agreement successfully and continue that without interruption.
Great.
So that's what's coming. And then, of course, we have a conference in January. The park slowed down, and honestly, the park side is slowing down. That's really a bad thing, because we're busy all the time, and this really helps us out right now. But a lot of the personality issues that we have, ongoing personality with people moving around the district, vehicles, all that stuff, it slows down. And that's really good, because we got a lot of other stuff to do.
Never a shortage of that.
No.
Thank you. Recommendations, Amanda?
I have the numbers real quick here. So for 2021,
45.
2022 was 122.
Say the first number again, I'm sorry.
45.
Okay.
2022 was 122. And 2023 was 195. So yeah. We sold from 2022 to 23, 73 more.
Wow.
So
at
a different price point.
Yes, that is.
And the other thing that skews that whole thing is COVID.
Right.
I mean, golf just in general is taking off, right? So it's really hard to isolate some of those.
We've been able to
successful, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Still have a good year.
Yeah.
We didn't lose anyone by going to the making some more expensive.
Right. Right.
I just also wanted to say a big thank you again, as you alluded to earlier, about the grant, Park with Carolyn, Jack Grant Spectacular, everything with the Reach Carolyn Society and the Bells and the volunteers. We have the most volunteers, so thank you three as well for coming out.
Including Trustee Alio was there as well. Let the record reflect.
It was great fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Staff really appreciated it, so just thank you.
I'm amazed at how hard everybody works.
I know. I had
those pumpkins are.
I had to take a nap.
Even this one worked hard.
Hey, what do you mean even?
I also wanted to touch here on the Caroline. We received a grant of $1,625 for the International Caroline Festival, so we were awarded from. We applied and were awarded for the Community Arts Access Grant. So this is funding for public art programs and audience development projects. So that is something that Carlo applied for, and we were awarded. So it's been very exciting.
That is exciting.
Yeah. And then the last thing is, and the rec side, is the Halloween dance. So we have over 200 participants. That was one of our biggest ones in quite some time. And that was, at Aaron's Pavilion. There was a lot of fun. So going back to the COVID numbers are going back up. There's more community participation. Our special recreation department, the participants is booming. It's a really heartfelt thing to see. Our staff are enjoying it. We're really touching a lot of people, so it's very exciting.
One quick question. Zooly Gooly, how did that do? I know it was cold.
What's good?
How are the numbers compared to the previous?
Well, this year it was Friday, Saturday instead of Saturday, Sunday.
Oh.
I don't know, but
just be curious.
Yeah, they're down. I talked to Doug.
It was really cold.
It was really bad weather. And like so many things in this area, particularly this time of year, the weather is make or break.
Unpredictable.
And the Jack-O-Lantern Spectacular, kind of preliminary what we're hearing is, much like Chief's observation, it was the largest year, not just in your tenure, but ever.
The weather was perfect.
Beautiful.
The weather was perfect.
So that drives a lot of
okay. I was just be curious, just because, I know that there were some changes. And
I would really like to bring up, like I said, the fact that I was surprised when I found out that it was Friday, Saturday instead of Saturday, Sunday, because District 186, all the parochial schools were still in session on Friday, and it just seems strange to me that we did that. We've always done, I know a lot of people, I was contacted by some people who were like, hey, we always take the kids on Sunday to Zulu Gulli, why isn't it on the schedule? And I said, well, they moved the dates this year, and I didn't really get into it, but
I heard that.
It just seemed very strange to me. Why were they even open
Amanda,
on Friday?
Can you follow up on that? Just ask the zoo people. It is odd.
Because Sunday seems to always be the biggest day of Zooly Gooly, because that's the day that most people put aside for family. Even the part-time workers usually get, if they have a day of the weekend off, they get Sunday off.
Yeah.
Sunday was always the bigger day.
I have to work, but I think I know for Saturday we ran, SMT ran the free shuttle, and I think it was just for the event, but I will follow up.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just, like I said, it just struck me as very odd because Sunday always seems to be the busier of the two.
Okay.
All right. Anything else?
I do have just...
Go ahead.
Okay. So just so the board is aware, obviously Angie Wisman's no longer with us. We have that position posted both locally, throughout the state, and throughout the nation. We're getting really good applicants for that position, so we're going to start those interviews here as soon as that job closes. I think there's already 50 people that have applied for it. We've got some really, really talented individuals, so we're really, really excited about that. And then I also, on the theme of thanking the board, I wanted to thank the board. Some of you were able to attend the Parks Foundation annual donor and volunteer appreciation event, which was a couple weeks ago.
The 25th.
Last week, the
25th. Yeah.
They did a really great job. That's the second annual one that they've done, and I think this year there was a few more people than what attended last year, but it's a great way to stay connected to the people that really care about the foundation and the park. So I appreciate those that were able to attend that, and we'll keep you. There'll be more opportunities in the future as we move forward there. So I just want to mention that as well.
Thanks.
I was actually asked by a constituent to bring these two things to the board. John Webb, everybody received emails from him about tennis. He called me yesterday, and we spoke for about 45 minutes, and he said that he would probably still speak with you. But I explained to him about Open Meetings Act and why he couldn't email the whole board at once and why you weren't seeing everybody on all the emails. I explained everything to him and he understood. But he wanted me to express to the board that he was happy with all the responses that he got from everyone who did respond and that he is going to be following up with Derek going forward from here. But, you know, obviously if he needs something, he'll contact us. But his second thing that he asked me to let ask the board or to ask staff is, we were talking about it, and we were talking about compared to like my time on city council. My time on city council, you could email the whole council by sending one email to the council coordinator, and it was stated that way that, you know, if you'd like to email the entire council, you can send one email here, and it will get sent to the rest of the council. We don't have an option like that right now on the website. He had to copy and paste all seven of us. I think getting an option on there that kind of explains about Open Meeting Act and the reason why you can't directly email all of us at once
You can email everyone. The board just can't respond. Right. You can't reply all.
Well, either way, he was just saying it would have been nice to have a way to send one email to all.
Yeah,
that's
a good idea.
And I mentioned to him that, he could always email Derek, and Derek can email the board.
That's true.
Anybody that emails me and asks me to share it with the board, I do that.
Yeah.
The other option this board could consider is getting partnership email addresses for everybody. There's some good things about that. There's some challenges about that. But something to kind of think about it, we could kind of control that. We could put them all on our website. And I'm sure we have the ability to link all of your emails in one single one. But, there's some challenges with doing that too. So just
And he's not the first one that I've known that you can kind of tell when you see an email from a constituent that he copied and pasted and probably sent it to all of us. But like he said, it took him time to do that. And I think just having the option to be able to email the whole board.
What we do is we just have on the email Derek, like the council coordinator. That's a better option, I think. Please email this. If you want to address the whole board, email Derek and he will distribute it. I think that's a good way to handle it.
Yeah.
And I think that's the best way to really go about it.
Yeah. We can easily amend
it. I really don't want a park district email address.
No.
Right.
I always have my city emails forwarded to me by the council secretary, and I can't imagine asking staff to do that. But anyway, he was very happy with everyone. He just had that one suggestion.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate you sharing that because it's always good to get the feedback. All right. They have a motion. I think we'll go ahead and get a motion to adjourn in a second. All in favor? Aye. Any opposed?